A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Here ends our reading. We have experienced significant dissonance in conversation over the last number of weeks in regards to so many things in terms of terrorism, refugee resettlement, how we deal with those of different faiths, and the like. I've heard many conversations with folks and seen them, either social media, in social media or in conversations just around my weekly visits and talking with people over the weekend with the men and in other conversations as we talk about what does it mean to live in this kingdom of Jesus as followers of Jesus when the kingdoms of the world are at war and there is fear and there is struggle and there are real enemies. I've seen a lot of going back and forth, people challenging each other's Christianity as we are trying to make sense of all of this. I personally am very distraught when I see that. People of faith who look at each other because of whatever their particular bent happens to be on a very difficult and complicated issue of such of refugee resettlement and challenging each other as unchristian. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, I find this happening way too often in our country. And brothers and sisters, don't be surprised to see this happening as we head towards an election next year. My challenge to you is to not get caught up in it. There are loving Jesus followers in this church who think we should resettle refugees. And there are loving Jesus followers in this church that want us to take a step back before we do. There are loving Jesus followers in this church who are going to vote for whoever the Democratic candidate is for president. And there are loving Jesus followers in this church who are going to vote for the Republican candidate. And there are loving Jesus followers who are going to vote for somebody else. There are loving Jesus followers in this church who pull for the Washington Redskins. And there are loving Jesus followers in this church that pull for the Dallas Cowboys. You see, I think living in this kingdom of Jesus and living in the kingdom of who God has called us to be and following Jesus is not always easy and can be complicated and can indeed call us to a place of loving our neighbor as ourself. That means listening. That does not mean judging. That means being willing to hear what another has to say and coming to consensus as the people of God in some way to say we feel this is where Jesus is calling us to be. Now, I have my bents. I do. I pull for certain teams and I have certain particular beliefs that aren't always in lockstep with all of you, and that's okay. We don't need them to be. We can disagree without being disagreeable, as they say. We can have unity without having conformity, as they say. But the reality is this. There is one thing that I see about Jesus that I think is instrumental and instructive for us as we think about all of the issues, whatever they may be in the future and whatever they happen to be today. And that is, as I look upon the cross, there is a word that seems to me to be central to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that is that no matter what we believe or who we are, we have to, at some point in our life, open ourselves up to the possibilities of being vulnerable. I mean, at the heart of what we look at every Sunday is a man who is in absolute vulnerability. A person who our scriptures tells us emptied himself of divine nature to enter into our world with its fear and trepidation. Because here's the thing. Being vulnerable means that we allow ourselves and put ourselves at risk for the signs of the gospel. That means, in a very practical sense, that there are times that I'm going to need to be vulnerable to whatever it is my particular bents happen to be, so I can hear what another has to say and perhaps learn from that. That means that as followers of Jesus, the one who said, if you save your life, you will lose it, but if you lose your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. That means that we take that seriously. When we listen to the Jesus Christ, who when his disciples looked upon him and they said, you are the Messiah, he goes, yes, that's right. That means I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die and on the third day be raised again. And they said, no, Jesus, that is not what's going to happen to you. You're going to help us to defeat all of our enemies and we're going to take them down. And then he looks at Peter, the rock, and says, get behind me, Satan. That means that this whole idea of being vulnerable as people is at the heart of one of the things Jesus teaches us about His kingdom. And I don't know about you, but I don't like vulnerability. I like control. As a matter of fact, I seek control. Even if I don't think I am, I seek to control my life, to put my life in a place where it's as ease as possible, as much ease as possible. I do that as a by nature, byproduct of being human. But what Jesus calls me to is to a willingness to look at my life differently and to look at our world differently and to say that being the people of God means being willing to risk and being vulnerable. Now, that's going to play itself out in who knows how many ways and whatever ways it will in our lives. It'll play ourselves out politically. It'll play itself out individually, personally. It'll play itself out religiously. It plays itself out in so many ways. But at the heart of what Jesus says, it is not being vulnerable for vulnerable's sake. It's not being taking risk for risk's sake. He's saying that new life is found there. New life is found when we are willing to be open to those things of which we are afraid. When we are willing to open ourselves up to the possibilities that God can do something new. That is what he's saying. It's not saying be vulnerable because there's something beautiful in and of itself in that. It is being vulnerable because that is where Jesus says God is found. In our reading this week at the men's retreat, we looked at a book called Soul Brothers. And in one of the places there, when it talked about the different characters of the Bible, it talked about Jesus Christ. And it said that what Jesus came to do was to teach us that God is found in the midst of our struggles and our sufferings and our pains. Because it is there that God meets us and brings about new life. Now, wherever we end up, individually, personally, collectively, on all sorts and manners of political questions and issues. Those are your decisions. Those are your conscience. And let you know right now, here and now, in this place, those conversations are all welcome here. You are not going to be judged by those thoughts or those visions. But I will say that the one thing that will call us and that I will invite all of us, including myself, primarily myself, to do, is to ask myself in what ways am I opening myself up and being vulnerable to the way in which God can change me and change this world and use me to change this world. Because that's at the heart, I believe, of following the King and living in this kingdom and living in this space. And living with each other. And living in this world. Christ as King. Christ as sacrificing King. Christ as vulnerable king. But Christ is still king. In Jesus' name, amen.